ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
One of the things that Jesus said is, in this series, is, I am the law of Moses. You go, well, what's the big deal? Because it's from the Book of Mormon. It's not from the Bible. And when one of the writers was asking about, or one was asked about this, he said, well, Jesus could have said it. Well, yeah, then you could put anything in there, can't you? You could say, well, you know, Jesus said that, you know, the average height of men who are going to heaven will be 5'6", which happens to be my height. No, you can't put what you, if Jesus, if you're saying Jesus might have said it, then he didn't say it. He either said it or he didn't. Did Jesus say a lot of other words that aren't written in here? Absolutely he did. But we can't guess what he was going to say because the Holy Spirit has given to us the things we need of what he said. And we have to be careful with that. For Balaam, his desire was to become personally wealthy by making a business out of his service to God. And false teachers of today are very good at doing this. They speak out of both corners of their mouth at once. They suppress the truth in order to increase their income. And they're greedy, making the house of God a house of merchandise, just like Jesus confronted the Jewish religious people at the beginning of his ministry and at the end. The house of God is to be a place of prayer, of worship. You've made it a den of thieves, he said. And that's what Balaam was doing. How important was all this money? Well, it was pretty important to him because he went after it. How long did it last? Not long. Because in Numbers 31, verses 7 and 8, and they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of the house who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. He was killed. So how long did he get to enjoy all that money? Is there pleasure in sin? Absolutely, or people wouldn't fall into it. But it's very short-lived, as we see here. And the way of greed, trying to profit off of God, you're not going to get away with it. That's what Judah's talking about with these false teachers. And the way of Cain was greed. Again, he was a for-profit prophet. Well, lastly, the last part of verse 11, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. The rebellion of Korah is found in Numbers chapter 16, and Korah was kind of this ringleader in a rebellion that also included Dathan and Abiram, and 250 others joined with them. And I'll just read Numbers 16 verses 1 through 3 for you. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" So Korah was upset. He was a Kohathite, but he wasn't content, wasn't satisfied with what God had called him to do. And you think, well, what kind of menial task, you know, did the Kohathites have? Well, think about this. These guys were to be in charge of taking care of the holy things of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, the seven-branched oil-burning lamp, and so on. They were responsible for carrying these as the children of Israel were going to move. And then the setup of them as they made camp again. Yeah, they weren't priests, but they had a God-ordained role And Korah said, I'm not satisfied with that. And a lot of other people, he got to join in with them. Did Moses place himself in this position as leader of the children of Israel? No, God did. God placed him there. So here the issue really is jealousy, discontentment, and it's not pretty, and it led to rebellion against authority. They didn't like the position that God had given them in serving, and they tried to usurp the position that God gave to Moses and Aaron. So they rebelled against them, and they tried to get the rest of the children of Israel to follow along with them. And people try to do that today. You know, why? Well, when they reject authority and speak evil of those in leadership positions, you end up walking in the rebellion of Korah. And it's interesting, you know, I've seen churches that have split, have divided up, because someone within the church wanted to be a pastor, and so they called people in the church and said, hey, I'm starting a work here, come with me. And they did. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's really not how a church starts. You don't divide it like that. But again, that's just rebellion because of the leadership in the church they don't want to submit to. I love the people that want to be pastors but have no clue of what it's about. You know, well, you just come up on a Sunday and Thursday and you teach and you go home. It's a little bit more than that. In between my golf games and stuff, I do have to study. I understand that. But here's the thing. You are dealing with the congregation, and everyone goes through difficult times. And you yourself, as a pastor, go through difficult times. I mean, when my children years ago were in rebellion against God and things were just horrible, I still came up and taught. I didn't miss. Was it heartbreaking? It was. But through it all, God was teaching me. As I was teaching the lessons, he was teaching me to rely on him, to trust in him. You know, today was a very difficult day for me. You know, I love my grandchildren. I think that they are the blessing I received and my wife received for having children is grandchildren. They are just wonderful. And now my little grandchild, he's not little, he's 14, has diabetes. And that's very hard for me. I'd rather take anything. Lord, just do it to me. Don't take it away from him. I already have diabetes. Give me something else. I don't care, because he's my grandchild. But this I know, is God always gives me the strength to do what I need to do, no matter how hard it is. And that's what you have to focus on. It's not easy. And usually people that are trying to usurp the position have no idea, and they're usually in it for a short period of time. I've seen it. I tried to warn people that were getting involved with a teacher that basically was kicked out of Calvary in California, went to Illinois, and they didn't really want him there. And so he came up to Wisconsin. Well, thanks a lot. And I said, hey, you know what? Don't follow this guy. Caused a big church split again. It was devastating. And within probably a half a year, he was done and moved on. What about all those people? See, it's not a pastor is a shepherd caring for the sheep that God has entrusted to them. You don't just get up and leave because it's too hard or whatever. But these guys had no idea. They wanted the position. They wanted the title. And they weren't satisfied with what God had given them, which was a huge responsibility. I mean, they didn't even get to come in until and take these articles until they were covered, because, again, they weren't priests. They weren't allowed to. But they still got to move all these things. I'll give you an example, because what happens is these guys start coming against those who come against them. Say, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and they don't like that. You know, false prophets are very much like that. You know, case in point, and again, I don't mean to offend anyone, but Benny Hinn, I don't think, is a prophet of God. And so when people come against them, well, this is what he said, and this is from several years back, but listen. You wonderful people of God, quit attacking men of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother, you watch out. I don't mind if they attack Benny and the way he is and the way he walks, but don't attack this man of God, Paul Crouch. There's a group here in California that thinks they are the judgment seat of Christ. They judge everything you do. Listen here, fellow, let me tell you something. You're not my judge. Jesus is my judge. You walk around with your stiff lip and your collar on your neck. Dear God in heaven, I just wish I could. Oh, they call it a ministry, my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that says, if you don't like them, kill them. I really wish I could find it. But there's nowhere in the Bible where it says it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd blow your head off. Okay, well, that's a minister of God, right? I don't know how people listen to that. And when you listen to what he says, you have to wonder, why doesn't anyone hold him accountable, right? I'll give you an example. On TBN's Praise the Lord program, Benny Hinn had a prophecy from God. This is from God. Okay, you put the tag, prophecy from God. It's got to be true. This is what you can do. If your loved one dies, instead of taking them to the mortician, the funeral home, prop them up in front of the television and turn on TBN and God will raise them from the dead. I guess, I don't know, you know, maybe it's probably healthier for them being dead to watch it, but why would you say that? This is from God? How many held him accountable? You see, this is the problem. And we see it today with so many of these false teachings that are out there. These people say it, and no one holds them accountable. We have to be fruit inspectors, and we check things out with what people say according to the Word of God. We don't judge where their heart is at, why they're doing these things. We do it according to God's Word. Okay, this is against God's Word. I guess these guys are very charismatic, and so people follow them. They're exciting because they say these things that are just, you know, mind-blowing. But then they don't come to pass. Now, here's the thing. Rebellion. Is it bad all the time? Think about that. What about rebellion against government? Are we always to obey the government? No. I know that's shocking. Let me share with you, first of all, what Paul said, and then I'll share a little bit about this. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Governments have the authority from God. God places leaders in positions. I know that's a hard one for us because we see some of these people and go, oh my gosh, why are they even there? How did they get in there? I guess God wanted them in. But here's the thing. Do we have to do everything that the government says? You know, I had to deal with it with the whole COVID issue, and that was a pretty difficult time. And, you know, when COVID first came out, it was deadly. And I realized people argued with me over that, but I had a son who worked in the emergency room as a nurse practitioner down in Madison, and every single day he saw people dying. He wore that hazmat suit all day long, and he was broken. He said, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Over time, the COVID virus mutated and became less deadly. But initially, the governor closed a lot of businesses, churches down. Because it was so deadly, we followed what he was saying. But then things kind of changed, and things opened up, and we started having services again. And My premise was, you're all adults. If you want to wear a mask, praise the Lord, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, praise the Lord, don't wear a mask. The people upset with me, why aren't they wearing masks? Well, if you're wearing a mask, then don't be afraid. We're all adults. But again, when I saw the bar next door open and people freely partaking over there, and you know, the governor saying bars were important for people's health, I'm thinking, you know what? Churches are more important for people's health, okay? We need to keep going here, and whether they like it or not, we're going to do it, and we did. You know, the only reason we go against government authority is when it goes against God's word. If the government says to a woman, you need to have an abortion, you obey God rather than man. If the government says you cannot teach against homosexuality and these other sins, we obey God rather than men. Do you see the point here? Again, kind of pick our battles. We're battling for God and we're battling for the lost. If, again, the Bible says you can't, or the government says you can't teach from the Bible, tough. You can't teach about Jesus, tough. I'm going to obey God. Will it cause trouble? It might. Is that rebellion? Yeah, but that's a rebellion according to what God has said in his word. That's the only reason. You see the difference? And it's important. You know, think about when Nebuchadnezzar had built that huge idol and he commanded everyone, when you hear the sound of music, not, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music, but you know what I mean. They are to bow down and worship this idol. And if you don't, well, you're going to be put to death. He gave the command. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego refused. These three Hebrew young guys, they refused to bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar was furious. Like, I'll give you one more chance. They're like, well, you know, O king, we're not going to bow down. I don't know if God is going to spare us from this fiery furnace or not, but no matter what, we worship him. Well, that just heat those fires seven times more in that kiln and throw them in there. He took, had his men throw these three Hebrew kids in there. All those soldiers that did that were burned crisp. And the king's looking in there. He goes, how many people do we put in there? Three. I see four. One of them looks like the Son of God. Oh, yeah. He calls them out. And the only thing that was burned on these men were the ropes that bound them. They were set free. You see, that's where we disobey government. And again, look at their lives were on the line. They didn't know if they were going to live or die, but they knew who they served. And that's got to be our way of looking at things. The Christians in the early church had to pay homage to Caesar. Bow the knee before him. Well, they couldn't because they only bow the knee to the Lord. Many were put to death because of that. You see? Dr. Martin Luther King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, put it like this. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. He went on to explain, an unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law, the law of God. Absolutely. You know, think about it. Years and years ago, it wasn't a big issue because a lot of our national laws were in accordance with God's word. I mean, think about it. 1960s, all the stores were closed on Sunday. To have a Little League baseball game or a soccer game was, there is no way that's going on a Sunday. Why? Because Sunday was a day to worship God. Isn't that interesting? For a nation they claim was never a Christian nation, look at the things we were doing and how we changed. But now things have changed. Think about it. They want to take your child away if you don't allow your child who wants to change their gender to have it done. Are you kidding me? You see, I'm going to obey God on this one. sorry. As one Christian columnist commented, he said, "We no longer base our laws on the bedrock of God's law, which has forfeited his blessing and protection on our nation. As a result, our economy is hanging by a thread with insurmountable national debt. Our families are breaking. Our churches are ducking for cover with the threat of government overreach. We are now joined with Iran and other God-hating regimes that are dedicated to wiping freedom off the globe." The words of the prophet Jeremiah sting us with an eerie similarity. Why is the land ruined, laid waste like a desert so that no one passes through? The Lord said, "Because you have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice nor walked according to it, but have walked after the stubbornness of their heart." We have abandoned the God of the Bible, the very God of our founding. Our spiritual foundation has been compromised. George Washington said, "It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." Aren't we finding that out today? Look at it. When we reject God's law by removing his influence from every vestige of society, how can we rightly govern ourselves? And the answer is we can't and we're not. And again, this attack is not about this immorality coming forth or that one. It's an attack on our faith. It's an attack on our God. The day after the Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage, a leading gay activist came out and said the following, and listen carefully. "This was never about legalizing gay marriage. Not really. This is about silencing Christians through whatever means possible and removing Christianity from America. What's at stake is the entire culture war." What is this battle against? What we believe, guys. He said the decision is an expression of hostility towards people who take their Christianity seriously. Sorry, that's us. Do we take it seriously? Absolutely. And the battle lines are drawn. And we have to stand up for what's right and be a light in a nation that's growing darker and darker. You know, for this rebellion with Korah, listen to the end of this rebellion in Numbers 16, verses 31 through 35. "Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words that the ground split under them, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up also.' And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense." That, again, is what's ahead for these apostates, these false teachers. The way of Korah was rebellion against the authority of God. Now, you may be thinking, all right, Pastor Joe, I see what you're saying. These false teachers have gone the way of Cain and unbelief. They've run greedily with the heir of Balaam for profit, and they perished in the rebellion of Korah. So what? So what do we do about all this? What did Jude say? "Behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." That is what we are to be about, to earnestly contend for this faith that's been entrusted to us. It will get more and more difficult in the days ahead. But that's why you have to know what you believe. Because how are you going to stand up for something you don't know anything about? Be in God's word. Pray for his direction. Ask for just compassion and love for the people of this world. Because that's our mission, to bring the gospel. May we contend for the faith. Let's pray. Father, again, this is not an easy series to go through. And yet it's important, Lord, or it wouldn't be in here. And I just pray that we understand these things. How we're to contend for the faith, not to in an unloving manner, but to explain the truth, and if they don't want to hear the truth, then we have to move on. We just can't accept the false teaching any longer. It's time for us to take a stand for you, Lord, and to shine brightly in a world that is just dark and dismal. But boy, your light shines even brighter in those dark times, and thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to live to serve you. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.